So here we see a whole different vision of time, time which really is not a linear time, but something very, very different. The way we're going to refer to this is something we call the cycle of time, or time going in a loop or a hoop of time. So now that we've introduced this notion of a circle of time, maybe you'll understand what Douglas Adams was saying when he said, "Time is an illusion, lunchtime doubly so." I kind of like that. Let's get through this illusion. How big is it? How big is time? How long is time? What do I mean when I say how big or how long time is? When writing or speaking about time, we find ourselves in a big quandary of how do we talk about this? We use metaphors. That's how we talk about it. We compare one thing with something else that we think we understand. So we talk about how long is time, as if time were a length like a meter stick. What do we mean, you know? So this is how we deal with things. We deal with things in terms of the metaphors that we can construct. And in our present language, the Indo-European languages, past, present, and future tenses are very important to us. It means that, using the idea of the metaphor, we always can map time, or past, present, and future tenses of time. We can map them on a line of time, as if they were points on the line. If something happened yesterday, that was in the past. That's on the left side of the line. If it's going to happen tomorrow, that's in the future. That's on the right side of the line. If it's going to happen now, that's right in the middle of the line. So let's draw a point on a line right now. Take out a piece of paper and draw a line horizontally across the page and put a dot right there in the middle of the line, okay? And call that time now. Now, it isn't really now, because now is changing all the time. What was now is no longer now, it's past. And what will be now isn't now yet, but now it just came into being, so now it is that. And now the other now is past, and blah, blah, blah. So we sense the river of time. But on a line, we can freeze everything. The line freezes the time, and we have the middle, the time we call now, and the past, which is another dot on the line and onto the left, and the future, which is a dot on the line to the right. Okay? So we're going to use this as a kind of a way of thinking about time. We're going to actually look at the philosophy, if you will, of this notion of time. Well, when we talk again about time and space even, we're using forms of speech which are called metaphors, ways of dealing with things as if we know what we're talking about because our previous experience tells us what that thing is, and therefore we can compare it. As I said, we talk about how long a interval of time is as if it were an actual length. Now, time and space can be thought of as coming into existence. That is, there are things, just like our metaphors about them come into existence, there are things which we can imagine coming out of our mind. They're subjective things, things that fly normally in the face of our experience of them as objective realities embedded out there, independent of our minds. They're something different, projections. Consider the example now of deep sleep or dreamless sleep, a state in which we pass before we begin to dream. In that deep sleep state, which is the fourth fluctuation, the ego disappears. We have no sense of who we are. The ancient mystical texts talk about when a king is asleep, he forgets he is a king. When a beggar sleeps, he forgets he is a beggar. In that state, there's no difference between beggar and king. In fact, there's no experience of time. There is no experience of ego. The only thing that's not there, of course, is the practice. And because the practice is not there, we're not really reaching the mindless state. It's another fluctuation. When we dream, we experience a dream. Landscape, time and space. We have an ego in the dream. We see ourselves in the dream as somebody who moves in this landscape, who experiences a dream. And the dream seems very real to us as if we're in it. But it's also clear that it's just another fluctuation. It's another illusion. And on waking, the dream landscape is gone, and we see that it was just another illusion to us. But in the awake state, something else is going on. Remember I gave you a process before where I told you just to be and observe without focusing on anything, just get into that state of consciousness which is floating. You're just there. You're observing, but you're not really looking at any particular thing in the field that surrounds you. Remember when you were in that particular state? That was the state that can be reached through a practice, so that's coming close to it. But when we are normally awake, we don't go to that state. What we go to is immediate focal awareness of what's coming up next. Where's my socks? Where are my shoes? I got to get my meal up. Who's making the coffee today? Bloody da da, body duty, da da da, all that da 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 that we have to do to keep living. We're focal point, focal point, focal point, focal point. We're going to come back to these focal points a little later on in another section, but I just want to put them in your mind for a moment. What we're trying to say to you, or what I'm presenting to you, is that we need to look at these things, time and space, as not being like that ultimately real, that is the concepts we have of them, that there is no real past nor future or even present nor anything like that, that there's something else going on which is much deeper and harder to get at, but you've gotten a hint as to how we get there, and that's this floating place.